rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
The sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening to our listeners. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. I'll be with you till 9 p.m. And we will be talking a bit about some of the news, the things happening in the world. And I believe you are going to be blessed. Last week, I had Reverend Maxine in the studio. We talked about the prayer conference that took place today at Oasis of Love. And it was an amazing time. We had, indeed, those who came were really, really blessed. And praying for our children, praying for, you know, the various age groups, and praying for parents, and having the discussions. It was such a wonderful time we had. And I believe it's something which people should be interested in, parents especially. But then even aspiring parents, people who are yet to be parents, yet to even get married, should be interested in praying for the future, because prayer is the only thing you can send ahead of time before even you get there. And I believe I'll talk a bit about it as well, the prayer aspects and why we should be praying for our children. Because this week I was listening to one scientist, as there are some things he said which gives a lot of insight into why parents have to be very serious about praying for their children. So yes, tonight I'll talk a bit. I'll still talk about the prayer aspect. I'll hold on the evangelism. I'll get back to it, God willing, next week going. But then for tonight, I'll be talking about the prayer, because it's indeed something we should look at critically, and I believe that's going to help all of us. But first, let's look at some of the news. And we move on from there. We have the first one. Chinese government cracks down on leading Christian prayer app or application app and bans it from being downloaded in Apple Store. So you have in China, Bible is not safe. The Bible is not safe. In fact, even Christian apps are on the chopping block. The latest app to face the axe is pray.com, a platform filled with faith-based content, daily Bible reading plans, and spiritual development programs. The app, according to the press release issued this week, is being removed from the Apple App Store in mainland China. Its removal from the App Store in the communist country falls under the purview of China's measures for the administration of Internet Religious Information Services, which went into effect March 2022. According to the Congressional Executive Commission on China, an independent agency of the U.S. government monitoring human rights in China, the restrictions put in place in 2022 require a government-issued permit to post religious content and outright ban the online airing of religious ceremonies, events, and worship services. The removal of pray.com comes ahead of National Day of Prayer on May 2nd. And then since starting pray.com, we've grown accustomed to positive relations with China, said the co-founder Michael Lane. President Xi has allowed for the printing of nearly 150 million Bibles per year, and former President Donald Trump ensured the Bibles were exempt from Chinese tariffs. Steve Gattana, founder and CEO of Pray.com, said in the press release that he and his team are exploring alternative avenues to deliver our content and services to people in mainland China. As we work on the solution, he said, I want to personally extend an invitation to President Xi Jinping to join us for this year's National Day of Prayer event in Washington, D.C. That one is a far-fetched one, you know, because the Chinese have their own philosophy, and this current president is something else. And CBN has reached out to Pray.com and will update the story with any statements from the ministry. The Chinese government is no stranger to censorship. Under Xi's regime, the Chinese Communist Party is even reportedly rewriting scripture and calling Jesus a sinner. These people. According to the Voice of Martyrs, a watchdog monitoring Christian persecution around the world, the CCP announced in 2019 it would begin the process of updating the Bible to keep pace with the times. This world. Then we go to this one, the US, and this is very, very worrying. 436 acts of hostility against US churches documented in 2023. According to a report, 436 acts of hostility against U.S. churches. I mean, this is outrageous. Hostility against churches in the U.S. appears to be on the rise, according to a recent Family Research Council report that identified 436 incidents against churches in 2023, more than double the amount reported by the group in 2022 and eight times the number identified in 2018. The Conservative Christian Advocacy Organization released its latest hostility against churches report this month, with FRC updated to include hostility incidents from the calendar year 2023. The organization has collected data about acts of hostility against churches since 2018, identifying 915 such incidents over the past 6 years. Between January and November 2023, FRC reported that at least 315 occurrences of vandalism, 75 arson attacks or attempts, 10 gun-related incidents, 20 bomb threats, 37 other incidents took place at churches. According to the reports, 17 of the incidents fell into more than one category, with vandalism and arson being the most common combination. There's a common connection between the growing religious persecution abroad and rapidly increasing hostility towards churches here at home, that's in the U.S., government policies, FRC President Tony Perkins said in a Tuesday statement. The indifference abroad to the fundamental freedom of religion is rivaled only by the increasing antagonism towards the moral absolutes taught by the Bible-believing churches here in the U.S., which is fomenting this environment of hostility towards churches, he continued. According to FRC, the rise in hostility against churches has neither slowed nor plateaued since its inaugural report in 2022, but has accelerated instead. Reported hostile acts against churches were widespread across 48 states and the District of Columbia in 2023. Incidents were more likely to occur in states with larger populations, the report notes. While Hawaii and Wyoming had no reported incidents, California had the most, and Texas was second with 28 incidents. This is indeed troubling, because if in America you'd have this, then it tells you the hatred for Christianity is on the rise. But well, it doesn't end there. This week, Donald Trump talked about this issue of Christians under attack. So this headline says, Trump warns of rising anti-Christian sentiment under Biden, promises task force to fight back. So the former president, Donald Trump, warned of a growing anti-Christian sentiment in the government under the Biden administration and pledged to address it with a special task force if he takes back the White House. Speaking to a packed crowd on Thursday evening at the National Religious Broadcasters 2024 International Christian Media Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, Trump opened his speech by warning his Christian audience of what he described as the enemies within the U.S. who pose a greater threat than those abroad. "This time, the greatest threat is not from outside our country. I really believe this," he said. "It's from within. It's the people from within our country that are more dangerous than the people outside. We can handle China. We can handle Russia. We can handle all of them if you have a smart leader. But the inside people are very dangerous. They are very sick, and in my opinion, in many cases, they are sick." Describing himself as a very proud Christian, Trump characterized the barrage of indictments and exorbitant fines against him as a foretaste of what many of the left would like to do to anyone who stands in the way of their political agenda, which he noted is any person of faith who worships an authority higher than the state. It goes on and on, and yeah, that's it. You know, because you see, the way the anti-Christian sentiment is on the rise in the U.S. and in the Western countries, it's really a concern. Indeed, it is. This next one, go to Germany, where the headline says, "Christian convert fights German authorities over Bible verse sticker." I mean, can you imagine that? Bible verse. A taxi driver in Essen, Germany, is contesting a fine imposed by local authorities for displaying a Bible verse sticker on his vehicle, which reads, "Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is all, not even the quotation. Like, this is just the quotation, not like the John 14 or anything written, just these words. And it's a small sticker at the back of the car. Not the whole back, just a small sticker, bam, like just near the number plate, something small. And has sparked a debate over religious expression and advertising laws. The sticker led to Jalil Mashali being fined for what the city deemed unlawful religious advertising. The rise group ADF International said on Wednesday, Mashali, a Christian convert from Iran, is challenging the fine with ADF International's help, arguing that the sticker is a personal expression of faith rather than advertising. Yeah, that's it. And then in October 2023, Mashali received a notice from Essen Road Traffic Authority threatening a fine of up to 1,000 euros or $1,085 for the sticker. He has refused to remove it, leading to a demand for a fine and fees totaling 88 euros. Mashali said the sticker is an expression of his convictions, not advertising. He has lived in Germany for 22 years, having moved from Iran, where he was born and raised as a devout Muslim. His conversion to Christianity followed a significant personal experience that he attributes to the power of prayer and faith, making the sticker a symbol of his spiritual journey. Mashali was injured severely in a bus accident in Iran. After the loss of his lower left leg, he suffered from chronic pain. When he was 33, he sought medical treatment in Germany. After 20 surgeries, the pain remained and he became suicidal. He found healing after a Christian woman prayed for him. He says the pain in his leg ceased after the prayer, inspiring him to become a Christian. Wow. He says, "Jesus is the best thing I could recommend to anyone because he changed my life," Mashali said. "That's why I have the sticker on my car. For anyone who is interested to see, I'm not looking to cause trouble, but I haven't done anything wrong. I'm grateful for this country where anyone should be free to share their faith. I hope to be able to continue to do so by appealing the unjust fine." You know, when you look at all that has happened in the 15th century and coming Germany, where the first printing press started, Bibles were first printed and all that, And today in this country, somebody puts this sticker behind the car and person is being fined, tells you how Europe has really fallen. This next news says 1/3 of Christians arrested in Iran targeted for possessing multiple Bibles. So that one too is a crime. Having one cry is an issue now more. So Christians in Iran faced a surge of arrests in 2023 as authorities appeared to target Bible distributors in particular, according to a new report from leading persecution monitoring organizations. 1/3 of those arrested possessed multiple copies of the Bible. The advocacy group's Article 18, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Open Doors and Middle East Concern released in 2024 joint annual report on Monday, analyzing the various ways the Iranian regime targets religious communities, including Christians, subjecting them to arrest, fines, and floggings. Despite a comparable number of Christians being arrested in 2023 as in previous years, 166 arrests were made in 2023 compared to 134 in 2022. Fewer names and faces could be publicized, the report stated. The arrests came in waves, according to the report. Authorities arrested a handful of people before June, increasing to over 100 arrests within 3 months over the summer, and a further rush of arrests during the Christmas. The persecution that Christians elsewhere are enduring. And then this one, ISIS Mozambique, this week they also were in the news. So let me read from this report from memory.org, where they have Islamic, it started to say Islamic State Mozambique Province, ISMP, reportedly urges Christians to convert or pay yiza or be killed, and calls on Muslims to help group defend Islam. So on February 12, 2024, a pro-Islamic State ISIS Telegram channel posted a photo and video reporting that a passenger bus was shot at in Mozambique's Cabo Delgado province, killing the driver, and that attackers left notes for the passengers. The photo shows the handwritten notes, one in English, the other in Portuguese, which states they are from the government of the Islamic State of Mozambique. They declare war on all Christians in the world for 3 things. Let me repeat. They declare war on all Christians, that's you and I, in the world for 3 things. Either to be a Muslim, one, or pay yiza, that's J-I-Z, YAH, that's a poll tax which the Quran mandates non-Muslims to pay their Muslim rulers. Then if you haven't paid yiza, it is war until the end of the earth. So to Muslims, we announce peace to all the world. Let's work together to defend the religion of Allah together. If you refuse to convert to Islam, then you will pay yiza, and if you refuse to pay the yiza, you will be killed. So this is a message from the ISIS that is sent to Christians. And this news started trending on Christian networks in online. But you see, this is just a signal of what is ahead for Christians who understand the times we are in. These warnings are just not like some overtures from some group who don't know what they are about. They know what they are about. And it's just a matter of time where you have the other partners in northern Nigeria and then the West Africa group, all of them. You see, what people have to understand is they have an ultimate agenda, a global agenda. When this Hamas war started, I read some of the statements from some top leaders and all that. The agenda is not just a narrow issue of just Israel or just America being an enemy, or it's ultimate control, the caliphate, worldwide control, and then they dominate and control. That's the whole agenda. See, so if you're a Christian and you understand these things from these angles, you will not be deceived by whatever you hear, whatever you see around. Because, you see, ultimately, when they are seeking to achieve the agenda, they will have to say everything possible to deceive and to, you know, let things look good. But then when they achieve their aim, then the real picture begins to take shape. And that is what Christians should understand. All right, the program is Issues of Life. We'll be back after this short break.
To have God answer any question you ask.
Yes, it did.
What are you going to ask?
Why do your shoestrings only break when you're in a hurry? You know how that is. You're late for an interview. And
wait, that's it?
Yeah.
You can ask God anything. Why don't you ask him something profound, like, what's the meaning of life?
I thought about that, but that was answered through King Solomon in the Bible.
Oh, well then how about, why do bad things happen to good people?
The book of Job answers that. I wanted to ask something the Bible doesn't address.
What about, what does God want you to do?
The book of John, chapter 6. I tell you, with all the answers the Bible has, reading it is like having God right there in your living room. The thing I didn't see addressed was shoestrings.
Oh, okay. By the way, stressful situations cause you to use excessive force. Thus, you break your shoestrings.
Fine. Now I have to come up with another question.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
By now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband. How many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor now? I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
No, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
I love this one. Actually, all their files are very, very nice listening to. Short, concise messages. You know, Jesus takes the exam for you and you ride on that victory. Wow. All right, welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben, and from now till 9 p.m., I am with you. Well, so this week, last week, we had the talk about the Parents Prayer Conference that took place today, and I believe those who came can attest to the fact that it was a blessing to come and pray for your children, not only yours, but children in general and all that. But, you know, there are a few key things which I want to address. That's why tonight I'm still talking about praying for ourselves and our children. There's this interesting verse that Jesus says, Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not faint. You know, there's a certain level of lukewarmness when it comes to prayer. Sometimes you struggle to pray and, you know, you just find it difficult because, but then, I remember reading somewhere that when you find it difficult to pray, that is even when you need to pray. And indeed, it's true, because when you really have to pray, there's a demand in the spiritual realm for you to pray. That's also when the devil would bring all the distractions and feeling sleepy, feeling tired, procrastinate. Oh, another time, I'm tired, and sleep off. Because he knows that prayers have to be made to stop something or to achieve something. But because sometimes we are not sensitive enough in the spiritual realm, we just give in to the body's desires, the fleshy desires, the tiredness, the hunger, the weakness, and then we just procrastinate or even cancel and not pray at all, or pray just a few minutes and sleep. But then we should get to the point that we have to understand that we are in the season is not the same as it used to be years back. You know, the world is getting more evil and darkness is increasing. More things are coming up. The evil is increasing. So, you know, today I heard something that really shook me at the prayer conference, where one pastor talked of a case where a child or like a girl was talking of the father in school, the house mistress in her house is the one who introduced her into lesbianism. So 4 girls, they go to her, the house mistress's house, and then they do what they'll do. I mean, so can you imagine a situation like this? When the caretaker, the one who should be looking after your child, is even the one destroying your child. And this is one of the reasons why evil has gotten to the point where you just cannot trust the systems to protect your child for you. No, those days are long gone. You just cannot say that, oh, my child is in a good school, the teachers are principled, so that is good enough to keep my child safe. No, it's not possible again. Even when the teachers are good, you have some evil occult people in the class, students. So there's still contentions to be made in the spiritual realm. You see, the evil has gotten to the point where we just cannot be negligent about our spiritual duties as Christians, be it parents, be it as children, for ourselves, praying for the children. We just cannot shirk that responsibility and just assume that things are fine. Or you prayed beginning of the year, fasting and prayer for the year, so that is enough to cover them throughout the year, so you don't need to worry yourself again with further prayers. No. I mean, the battle is real. We ought to pray always. We just cannot say that we've finished praying, so now the rest of the year we are on leave. We prayed all the prayers for the year. Yes, it's good to pray ahead of time and all, but it doesn't mean we should stop praying, because the devil is also not stopping his agenda and his work and his assignments, both against, I mean, virtually to all humanity. He's scheming various levels, children, adults, and all. You know, I made a statement that I listened to one scientist, and he said something that's really, I learned a lot from. He came from the angle that, you know, programming a child, like the programming of a child is mainly the last 3 months in the womb, and then zero age, the child born is born to age 7, and this is the programming stage. So within this period, the child is being programmed, and now the question that comes up is, who is programming the child? Because the systems are programming the child, environment is programming the child. The systems, I mean, the educational system is programming the child, the entertainment system is programming the cartoons, the video games, the TV, the neighbors or the people at home, the parents, that whatever the child is exposed to is programming him, his subconscious, his conscious minds. It's all being programmed by these exposures. But because most of the time we are not aware, we are not consciously aware that this is how his mind, his brain is developing, we are not too careful about some things. But you see, after listening to this man, I really got a better understanding as to when the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows he will not depart from it. Oh, the Bible just stated it as it is. I mean, Proverbs 18, I believe. But then it doesn't go into the real scientific details as to what really happens in that childhood stage. But you know, with advancement in technologies, child psychologists, neuroscientists and all, they are getting better understanding of how the brain works and how psychologically children behave and what they learn and how they learn. All these things are, you know, advancing over the years as time goes on. So if your child or a child is programmed in the first 7 years, whilst in the womb, 3 months before being born, and then 7 years after being born as a human being, this is the programming one. And you see, I remembered the pre-born baby, the baby in the womb being programming thing. I really remember the case, or I've heard of cases where, for instance, a baby is born and the baby likes some type of music more than others. And the reason is that while the baby was in the womb, the mother would play those type of music and bring the sound, the speaker, I mean, near the you know, her tummy, her belly, whatever. So the child hears the sound in the womb. This child is born, and when other songs are played, the reaction is different from when the particular song that was played consistently in the womb, when the child hears it, his exposure, his behavior is different. Excited, because you see, so it, you see, you realize that indeed, then it is true. The child is speaking, and science confirms that they hear voices. They hear voices in the womb. They pick sound in the womb, you know. So if a child can respond to types of songs in the womb, and when the child is born, manifests it by identifying exactly those songs, it tells you how powerful the human mind is and how God created such a beautiful thing. But then you see, the mind is so powerful that we underestimate the power and we underestimate its potential. So the scientist went on and said that, if, for instance, if you put a child in a home, a house, between a child before age 7, and they speak 100 languages in that house, that child by age 7 will be speaking all the 100 languages. The brain of that child will be able to accommodate the learning of all the 100 languages without any problem. So it tells you that it's not that we don't know, like we are just not using our capacity that we have within us. But God has made us in a way that is beyond our imagination. And you see, the bad guys out there, they know this. That's why they are purposely designing things targeted at the children, because if they are able to program them and get these false and wrong and negative and bad and evil information into their subconscious mind, then they are growing with it and it becomes difficult. So you see, it's no wonder that this issue of hearing children, young children, I want to change from boy to girl, I want to change from girl to boy and all that. See, the programming was set earlier, much earlier. And now the seed has grown and is now reaping. It's ripened and they have to now overflow to a forest. So this child, in as much as you think the child is so small to know this, the programming was done in one way or the other. Be it in cartoon or information hearing or adults speaking to the child, saying these things. And then, you see, so the mind of the child is so important. So this is one of the things why parents, we just cannot be careless with the things we say to our children when we are around them, the things we allow them to listen to, the things we allow them to watch. You see, we need to really be careful, because if this programming is happening in this age group, and we allow them to get programmed by the system that is anti-God, by the time now we think, oh, they are matured, so it's now that we want to introduce them more seriously to God, their minds have been set already. And this is where we are making the mistake, because we think they are not grown. So, when you allow them, so you say, not, you don't push too much, you know, just allow them, you know, don't worry yourself too much of the word of God, like prayer and the word, spiritual things too much. They are too young. That's the mindset of some believers. So, we allow them to be freelance, like, just growing as normal children. But that's where the deception is. They are not growing as normal children. Something else is programming them. They are picking other signals from other exposures that they... So if they are going to school, yes, they are picking signals from there. They are picking signals. It's not everybody that is in the school that is as correct as you think. There are some who are all sorts of agents, and they are also in the school. They are programming your child for you. So by the time you think, now it's time for me to take control of my child, other evil people have already done the programming of your child for you. And that is the beginning of the warfare. Now parents have to engage in, and this child is stubborn, this child is not interested in godly things, this child, all these things start coming up. But when we should have paid attention, we neglected that time. So these are some of the things, when we understand, then we see the need and the importance of paying attention to our children in prayer and in everything we can to ensure that they are well programmed in the right way. Oh yes, we have to pay attention. See, that's why we have to pray. That's why we have to pray, because if you hear the things happening in schools and all the bad things and all that, you realize we need to pray as Christians for our children and for ourselves. We need the prayer. It's not something that's an option. It's a must. We need to pray, because we've gotten to the point where evil is just in charge of the system. Evil is manipulating everything. So our only defense as believers is prayer. So if we are not interested in prayer at this time in this world, then when are we going to be interested? Because we can see clearly, if you look at the way the world is moving, you realize we are getting into more, like, systems are becoming more corrupt. Evil is becoming more rampant. People are becoming heartless, evil. There's no fear of God. Fear of God is really, really, really a missing issue now. You see, so because there's no fear of God, people don't care what they are doing. They are heartless. And as we are seeing this more and more, that means we need to really ground ourselves in prayer. That's why I'm just encouraging us this evening that prayer should not be seen as a one in once in a while something. Yes, we need corporate prayers, like what happened today, the prayer conference that is done every year by OSS Christian Academy and the Church OSS of Love. It's a good thing. This year was the 13th. Today's was the 13th edition. But then on our own, how are we praying? How effective is our prayer lives? What are we doing with our time? You see, the devil keeps distracting us with all sorts of things. So many things are distracting us. So many things are distracting us. But we must make a conscious effort to start praying. Praying for ourselves, praying for our children, praying for ourselves, praying for the community, praying for, you know, we talked about evangelism. There can be no effective evangelism without prayer. That is the fundamental requirement. Prayer should, because you see, when you see evangelism as warfare, because you are invading someone's country, like Russia invading Ukraine, to go and take captives from Ukraine and bring them back to Russia, it's warfare. So you just cannot go into the enemy's territory, go and invade, take citizens or souls and then snatch them out and bring them into the kingdom of God. It's warfare. So you just cannot engage in such spiritual exercise without any prayer. So that's why the prayer or evangelism and soul winning and all must be preceded with serious prayer, because in engaging in any warfare, spiritual warfare, you can't live out prayer. So that's why we should be praying, because in warming ourselves up into these spiritual exercises, prayer is the foundation. We cannot take prayer out of it and expect to be victorious in engaging in spiritual exercises. Being able to win souls, missions, going out, getting souls and all. It can't be achieved without prayer. So in talking about prayer, it's not only about ourselves. It's about us. We are led by the Spirit of God for ourselves, our relatives, our family, unsaved people around us, in our offices, in our educational. You know, there are, if we really, really want to pray, there are many, many, many things we can pray about, and there are many, many people we can pray for. So the issue is not about you don't know what to pray, you don't know what to pray for again. There are many things you can pray for. The people you don't know, even the people you don't know, you can pray for them. You can take a country, pray for the persecuted Christians there. You can take a community, pray for the people there. Even in Ghana, so many things to pray for. Elections is coming up. Pray for, you can take a constituency. Always be praying for the constituency, for the peace of God to prevail. Take a region, pray for the peace of God. So you see, we cannot say that we have nothing to pray about. No. We can't say we have nothing to pray about. There are certainly many, many things you can pray for. Pray for ourselves, our churches, the pastors, our leaders, the deacons. Pray for them. See, so there are things, the station, Spirit FM, pray for the station. You see, so we just can't say that we are tired of praying or we finish praying. No, there are many things we can keep praying for. So, just be encouraged this evening that one of the problems, I won't call it problems per se, but one of the issues that happens to believers often is we start the year really on fire with the various prayer fasting schedules, 14, 21 days, 30, 40, 50, whichever days. So we started on hot, serious prayer and fasting. And then after that, that's where the danger comes in. So you see, from after the January, February prayers, after the series of prayers done, then if you are not careful, you enter that sudden shock wave where prayer becomes difficult because you think you finished with it. So now let's go back to a normal mode. When you feel like you pray, when you feel like, you know, it's dangerous to let that happen to you, because it's like you go for intensive warfare, you finish, you overcome the enemy, and then now you go back and then you go and sleep thinking the enemy will not come back. He would come back. You see, so we shouldn't allow the beginning of the year prayers to cause us to be lazy now because we've done a lot of prayer, so let's rest a little. There's no room for that. There's no room for that. Every day is warfare. Every day is warfare. So let's have that mindset that if we are being lazy about prayer, I'm encouraging you this evening, revive yourself. If you used to pray, but beginning of the year you started hot, but you know, February ending, as we are entering the ending, you've slacked. You know yourself. But let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to the prayer points, prayers we are praying again, because there's no room for laziness, and there's no room for procrastination and laxity and all that. We should be prayerful, because the enemy is not tired, and the enemy is not giving up. The enemy is pushing the limits. He is not giving up, no. And this year, they are still going to do their things. The enemy is still going to push his things. The evil people are going to do their things. As believers, we just cannot sit aloof and watch things happen. We have to pray. We should be able to change situations, alter things through prayer, because we have that mandate, we have that power. But until we really put it to use in prayer, nothing happens. So this evening, my assignment is really simple, is to get you back to the point of prayer again, where we pray without ceasing. We pray in the morning, we pray in the afternoon. Let's create time. Sometimes, it's not that you are being over spiritual, but you are being alert and you are being wise. So if you have your 1 hour break and you say, oh, every 1 hour I'll just take some 15 minutes or something and then hide somewhere and do some 15 minutes intensive prayer, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You see, we see other religions take breaks and pray unashamedly. I mean, they pray. Muslims pray. They close their shops and pray. They don't care. You drive on the highway, you see articulated driver parking, praying near the track. See, they are not ashamed about it. No, they pray anywhere. They are not ashamed about it. But we think, we always want to look like we are not extremists. So we cannot say that break time, you excuse your friends and say that, oh, you'll be back. Excuse them and go and hide somewhere small and pray. We think you have been too spiritual. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Actually, it's a good thing to do. The Jews pray 3 times a day. Muslims pray 5 times a day. How many times do Christians pray? Well, it's open-ended. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. All this, we don't even have a specific limit. Ours is an open-ended invitation. We can pray as and when we are led, as we feel like, as the deep situation that demands, as we pick signals in the spiritual realm that no, something, you have to pray. Sometimes you just don't know why, but you feel the urge to pray. Those signals, never joke with them, because it can be saving your own son or your family, your spouse or something. Someone close by you needs that prayer. I heard of a case where the pastor said that he prayed in the night. He was tired. I mean, after midnight, wants to sleep, but the head was still there. Pray. So just praying in tongues. He was praying. At that time, so it was the next day that he got to know. At the time when he had the head to be praying and speaking in tongues, praying. Armed robbers had gone to his junior brother's house, and they were now debating to kill him or not to kill him. One said they should shoot him, and the other one, oh no, they should leave. So his tongues, at the time when he was speaking in tongues and praying at that after midnight, that was when the debate was going on, to kill or not to kill, to kill him or not to kill him. Eventually they left him, they got angry amongst themselves, and then they walked off. You see, this can only happen through the power of prayer. So assuming his brother picked the signal, pray, and he said, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep, the next day he will get a phone call that his brother has been killed by armed robbers. You see, so there are things which we cannot blame God, because God brought the solution. He gave us the solution, but we didn't act on it. And then the consequence comes. And now eventually we turn back and say, where was God? Why didn't God stop it? God didn't stop it because he expected men to stop it. And the men who should have stopped it, the watchmen who should have been on watch to watch and save the situation, were asleep on the job. And you and I are watchmen. We can be called to duty. You see, this is how some of these things work out. A situation is happening in the spiritual realm. It can be your child, somebody else you don't even know. Sometimes, you see, you just don't know why you are praying. You are just speaking in tongues. The signal has been sent in the spiritual realm, an SOS message. So the one who picks the signal is praying. So your prayer can be saving someone you don't even know. Likewise, you can be in a situation where you also need prayer, and someone else, anywhere in the world, I mean, because prayer has no limit. So somewhere else, someone can just pick the signal that, no, let me just pray. That prayer can be the one that will save you from an accident. You see, so we should be sensitive to spiritual alerts. Let's pray, because we don't know what that prayer is going to do. So assuming the signal comes, and all the people that pick the signal, everybody is lazy, I'm tired. Everybody picks, oh, I'm tired. And everybody decides not to. Nobody works on the prayer. Everybody sleeps. What will happen. But we blame God that where was God when his child needed him most. You see, so we have to understand some of these things, that we should not downplay the feelings of prayer. Like, so that I feel like I should pray. I feel those feelings are important SOS messages in the spiritual realm. Like, you received an urgent message, act on it. You don't know the meaning of the coded message that has come, but as you speak in tongues, as you are praying, the spirit himself knows what is doing, like this armed robbery one I talked about. So I believe, see, when we have some of these, I mean, we see prayer from this perspective, that sometimes it's not just about us. It's not about even the people we know, but it's for the body of Christ. When we see our role, as we are all part of the body of Christ, and we all have an important role to play, then we will not be joking with any promptings of prayer that come our way, that pray. We will not procrastinate, because there are issues where, like this armed robbery one, there was no... procrastination was not an option. The people were in the house debating to kill him or not to kill. So if you say you are procrastinating, oh God, this prayer, they let me pray tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is too late. They will kill him. They would have killed him. Because by the time you say you pray tomorrow morning, or in the morning when you wake up, the people are in the house ready to kill, and you say you will pray tomorrow morning. But you see, because you don't know that this prayer is meant towards saving, if you all know why we are praying, oh, that one they will pray. Because assuming you have a clear, sometimes the spirit will give you a clear message, pray for this person. That one too is there. But where is this coded? You don't have the details, but you just feel you should pray. You pray. And God himself, the Holy Spirit himself, knows how he will use it to solve the situation. Or even it's for yourself. You may not even know, but it's for your own, even the rest of the day. You just don't know. Because the day, as you don't know the second ahead of you, the minute ahead of you, don't know. But that prompt to pray may be clearing the way, may be stopping a certain drunk driver from leaving the house, so that you don't get into, accident with that person. You don't know. But as you feel you are praying, feel the need to pray, you pray. Let's respond to those calls. Those prayers
that we don't even feel like praying. That's why I said when we don't feel like praying, that is even when we should be praying. Because that is when the real that prayer is needed in the spiritual realm to solve something. But the job description or the solution or whatever the description for the reason to pray may not be added to that message. So if you are not sensitive to spiritual things, you may think, oh, you will pray later. But I'll pray later. The next time you hear somebody is in a serious situation or dead or whatever, something bad has happened. And then if you are fortunate, then the Holy Spirit will tell you that you should have been the one to stop that situation. Then what do you do? Had I known? It's always at last, as we say. So I believe we've learned something, and we are going to inspire ourselves onto more prayer as we go into this year, the year progresses. I'm Eben, and I believe, you know, sometimes you hear prayer, you pray, then we digress, and then we, but we should be consistent. Not that only the early year, January one. Let's be consistent. In March, we should be found praying. In April, we should be found praying. In May, we should be prayerful Christians this year. Good night, and God bless you.
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband. How many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor now? I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So, to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio.